So before we begin, do we have the roaming mic? Okay, fantastic, great. Because I'm going to be asking you a couple of questions along the way. This chapter is titled The Ecstatic Dancing of the Lord at Rathyatra. And it describes how Lord Chaitanya danced in front of the chariot at Rathyatra and the reciprocation between the deity or the Ratha and the Ratha of Lord Jagannath and the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 153, it explains, at those times Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit Lord Jagannath, then his feelings exactly corresponded to those of the gopis when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra after long separation. Krishna had come to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister to visit. So that's just to give a bit of context. So the first question I wanted to ask is, does anyone know where or in which chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita the verse that we just recited, text 113, is repeated? Yes, Govinda Prabhu.
I think it's in chapter 1 of Madhya Lila.
Madhya Lila.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
It's easy to confuse, but yeah, correct. Pretty much you've got the... it's actually Madhya Lila... first chapter, and the translation is almost the same but slightly different. So 155, I've gotten the Lord of my life for whom I was burning in the fire of lusty desires. And I'm just going to read that purport because it shares a little bit of light, a little bit more light actually, also on this verse. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.15 it is stated, Kamam krodham bhayam sneham ekyam soradham mevacha nityam haro vidathato yanti tanmayatam hite. The word kam means lusty desire, bhaya means fear, and krodha means anger. If one somehow or other approaches Krishna, his life becomes successful. The gopis approached Krishna with lusty desires. Krishna was a very beautiful boy, and they wanted to meet and enjoy his company. But this lusty desire is different from that of the material world. It appears like... It appears like mundane lust, but in actuality, it is the highest form of attraction to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. He left home and everything else. He could certainly not be induced by any mundane lusty desires. So when he used the word Madana Dahane in the fire of lusty desire, he meant that out of pure love of Krishna, he was burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. Whenever he met Jagannath, either in the temple or during the Rathyatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to think, now I have gotten the Lord of my life and soul. Does anyone have a reflection on this purport before we go to text 56, which I also wanted to briefly look at? No? Somebody? Yes, Pirajan Prabhu?
It's from Shikshakshitakam. Nayanam galadasra astra dairaya vadanam vadanam katadab rudaya gira pulake nichitum vapukada tavanamagrani bhavishyate. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy names? When will I chant your holy name? When my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end? That's basically it, and it goes on to the end of the Shikshakshitakam, but that's the dancing in ecstasy.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that wonderful verse of Shikshakshitakam, which relates beautifully to the symptoms of ecstasy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting during his dancing in front of the Rathyatra cart. The one point that struck me on this before I go to the next one is just that something that can seem material can actually be fully spiritual in terms of these emotions that the gopis of Vrindavan were feeling towards Krishna. It says here it's the highest form of attraction to Krishna, even though it appears like a mundane attraction. And the point that's being made here, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. He left home, he'd left his young wife and mother, and he wasn't going to be talking about or discussing anything that was tainted as a sannyasi. And he was, absorbed in this mood, fully absorbed in this mood. So that also is it's maybe the strongest indication that this love of the gopis is completely pristine and pure. And this other point that's highlighted in this purport, that these emotions like fear, anger, and lust, when they're engaged, if one somehow or other approaches Krishna, when they're engaged in Krishna's service, it becomes a source of our success. So I'm sure we'll reflect on that a little bit more further down. But yes, it's just a very, very beautiful purport. And again, it says here, whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever he met Jagannath, either in the temple or during the Rath Yatra, he used to think, now I have gotten the Lord of my life and soul. And here we have some beautiful Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Maharani deities here at the back that have appeared. They must be somebody's personal deities. So very, very blessed, whoever's deities they are, that they've come here today to bless us. Very auspicious. I also wanted to read text 56 because this expands a little further. This is from chapter 1 of Madhya Lila 56. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to sing this song, Seta Parananata. So that's the same verse we recited today. Especially during the latter part of the day, and he would think, let me take Krishna and go back to Vrindavan. This ecstasy was always filling his heart. And the purport says, being always absorbed in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the same separation from Krishna that Srimati Radharani felt when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. This ecstatic feeling is very helpful in attaining love of God in separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught everyone that one should not be overly anxious to see the Lord, but should rather feel separation from him in ecstasy. It is actually better to feel separation from him than to desire to see him face to face. When the gopis of Vrindavan, the residents of Gokul, met Krishna at Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse, they wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also felt the same ecstasy as soon as he saw Jagannath in the temple or on the Rath Yatra cart. The gopis of Vrindavan didn't like the opulence of Dwarka. They wanted to take Krishna to the village of Vrindavan and enjoy his company in the groves. This desire was also felt by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he danced in ecstasy before the Rath Yatra festival when Lord Jagannath went to Gundicha. So does anybody want to share a reflection on this purport before I ask you a couple more questions about some texts in that chapter? It's say one thing, it's okay, Prayajan Prabhu.
When they met at the Kurukshetra.
Yeah, please wait 1 second. Yeah.
When they met Kurukshetra, the gopis, they didn't actually they couldn't hug him, but they hugged him with their eyes. It was it's not a sexual thing, but it's a physical thing, but they did it with their eyes, just the glance of their eyes.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Can we have one more realization from Govinda Prabhu, please? Thank you.
It's more a reflection than a realization. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kurukshetra is where we want to go for our bhajan, because if we please Radharani in her desperation, we'll get great reward. So even Bhaktivinoda Saraswati said something that same similarly, that bhajan in Kurukshetra is preferable to bhajan in Vrindavan.
Jai. That's very profound. I had heard that before, but I didn't know the reference, so thank you for sharing the reference. really powerful. And can you just expand a little bit further on why it is that they're emphasizing this mood or this place of Kurukshetra, which...
Well, they're emphasizing it because this is a place where obviously Radharani met during the solar eclipse the gopis met. It's also known as Jagannath Puri's Vipralamba Kshetra, and then Alalanath is Dvigunata Vipralamba, double separation, and then Kurukshetra's Triguna, triple separation place.
Thank you so much. I didn't know that at all, so that's very... Thank you for sharing that. It's this mood of Vipralamba, this mood of separation that's exalted and particularly praised in this purport, that it says it's very, very helpful for advancement in Krishna consciousness, and it's very desirable. Just like the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they never said, "I have Krishna." They said, "Hey Radhe Rajadevi Kecha Lalite, Hey Nanda Sunakuta." They were always looking for Krishna. They were always in this desperate mood of searching for Krishna. They didn't feel, "I have Krishna already and I'm fine." They may have felt that Krishna was theirs, but they didn't feel that they had him in their grasp, so to speak. And so there was Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitara Lakshmana Namana Ki Jai Shishi Gauranga Ki Jai. They always felt this mood of longing, and this mood of longing is very, very favorable to our advancement in Krishna consciousness, even for us at a very neophyte level as sadhakas. It's actually very important to understand this and to study it. And you know, this point's being made here. We often hear this phrase that we shouldn't be so much anxious to see the Lord, but should be more anxious to be seen by the Lord. And this is also tied in with this mood of searching for Krishna, always feeling that one has to go further to reach Krishna, always feeling that one has to work that little bit harder, somehow to go deeper in one's sadhana, in one's practice, in one's external services, in one's mood of devotion, to try to somehow attract his mercy. So I'm going to ask you another question now. There's a wonderful pastime that's just explained a few texts down from Madhya Lila 156. Does anybody know what pastime this is? And I don't mind if you do want to look it up, I don't mind, because I know you have your phones. But if anybody does know what it is, it's got to do with this ecstasy that Srimati Radharani was feeling at Kurukshetra. Whoops, sorry, I shouldn't have moved that. Anybody, any thoughts? If you're not sure, it's okay to have a guess as well. Just want to encourage those of you who may be feeling a bit more shy to speak. Nobody? Okay, I'll give you text 57 to give you a prompt, and then maybe you'll... In that ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited one verse when dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. Almost no one could understand the meaning of that verse. Yes, I see a hand up here at the front. Can we have the mic?
Hare Krishna, I'm still guessing, but is it the same verse which Rupa Goswami heard, and he then gave an explanation in his own... extended the explanation in his own words? And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his morning bath, came to meet Rupa Goswami, he saw the verse and he felt it ecstasy. And when Rupa Goswami came, he slapped in his love that how did he understand? And he was asking to Swarup Damodar Goswami, how did he understand? And then Swarup Damodar Goswami said, yeah, it's all your mercy.
Absolutely.
Because of your mercy, he understood it.
You've just summarized a whole page of my notes. Thank you so much. Yeah, you've got it on. Often we may know this pastime, but we may not fully be able to connect it. But I hope everybody got that, because you summarize it very beautifully. And I'm just going to read the verse, because it's actually very, very beautiful. And I can't figure out the meter, so I'm just going to say it. Text 58, if you want to follow, or if the person who's scanning the boards wants to get to 150. Oh. I'm not sure if I can respond. Ya ko marahara saiva hivaras Taeva Chetrakshapas Tekun Milita Malati Surabhaya Prodhakadamba Nila Sachevasmita Thapitatra Surata Vyaparalila Vidho Revarodasi Vetasi Tarutale Cheta Samutkanthate. Thank you so much for your help. Actually, I was speaking to one other devotee earlier in the week about, you know, giving class at the manor, and this devotee is very humble, very advanced devotee, but feels very humble about giving class. And I was just explaining that, you know, we give class for our own purification. And one of the wonderful things about giving class here at the manor, and I've not given class in so many other temples, once at Soho Street, is that, and this is what makes me feel okay to be here, even though I'm not qualified, is that the devotees help you, you know. The devotees really are assisting in this process of churning the nectar. And filling in the gaps in our knowledge. It's definitely happened to me quite a few times. I just wanted to thank all of you for your very kind help. I'm just going to read the translation. It's a very, very beautiful verse. I'm glad that I know the meter now also. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there. And the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I'm also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I'm eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva, under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. So, does anybody want to expand a little bit more? I can actually, maybe I should say, I'll just give you the translation of text 59. This verse appears to be the hankering between some ordinary boy and girl, but its actual deep meaning was known only to Swarup Damodar. By chance, one year Rupa Goswami was also present there. And then this goes on to the point that you yourself made, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse, and people couldn't understand why he was saying this verse, because it just sounded like an ordinary love song. Can you imagine you're at Rath Yatra and somebody's singing something that just sounds like a mundane, secular song, dancing in front of the Rath? People couldn't understand him. The only person who could understand him was Swarup Damodar Goswami. But as this devotee was explaining here at the front, Rupa Goswami composed another verse that described the meaning of the original verse, and he put it in the palm thatched, the thatched palm roof of his hut, and he went to take bath. In the meantime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and he saw this verse, and immediately went into ecstasy. And when Rupa Goswami came and offered dandavats, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually very affectionately slapped him on the back and said, "Hey Rupa, how did you understand my heart?" And he took him on his lap and he began to, you know, say that, you know, how did you understand my intention? And showing the verse to Swarup Damodar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar, how was it that Rupa Goswami could understand the intentions of his mind? And actually, I wanted to read that purport because it talks about, or it reflects on Srila Prabhupada's own experience, which is very powerful. So this is text, this is 157 of Madhya Lila. Oh, no, 171, sorry. So the purport is, so basically, just to, in case you've lost the flow here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Swarup Damodar, how did Rupa Goswami understand my mind? Nobody understands what I'm saying except you. How did he understand? So in the purport it says, "We had the opportunity to receive a similar blessing from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami when we presented an essay at his birthday ceremony. He was so much pleased with that ecstasy, with that essay, sorry, that he used to call some of his confidential devotees and show it to them, how could we have understood the intentions of Srila Prabhupada? So Srila Prabhupada is calling his own spiritual master Srila Prabhupada here, just to avoid any confusion. So I just wanted to ask you, which essay is being referred to? The occasion is clearer. It says his birthday ceremony, so it's Vyasa Puja. Can anybody expand a little more on what it was that was presented, or the famous stanza in it? I'm sure many of you know this. Again, if you're in doubt, don't feel shy to say, because odds are you'll get it right. There's somebody at the back. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Please.
It's something. It could be that impersonal calamity is. It's take. I don't know the full thing. I just know it starts with impersonal calamity.
Yeah. 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 You're there. I mean, you have one of the two of the words of the stanza. Does anybody want to help Prabhu? Yes, go in the Prabhu.
Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast moved.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for that. So this was in 1935. It was the 62nd Vyasa Puja, I think, for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The poem was called Adore, Adore Ye All, and if you want, you can look that up. And Srila Prabhupada later, after he made the offering actually in another center in Bombay, from what I understand, and he submitted both the poem and the essay to the harmonist. And the main celebration was happening in Jagannath Puri. And the reflection that's written here, which I'll read to you, is reflecting on Srila, on how this was taken by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. For Abhay, however, the glory of his Sri Vyasa Puja homage came when the poem reached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and it gave him pleasure. One stanza specifically made Srila Bhaktisiddhanta so happy that he made a point of showing it to all his guests. As Govinda Prabhu and the devotee at the back also said, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. Somehow, in the simple stanza, Abhay had captured the essence of his spiritual master's preaching against the Mayavadis. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took it as an indication of how well Abhay knew the mind of his Gurudev. Abhay was delighted when he heard that the couplet was pleasing to his spiritual master. One of Abhay's godbrothers compared this verse by Abhay to a verse in which Rupa Goswami had expressed the inner thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and had thus moved him to ecstasy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also found the essay pleasing, and he showed it to some of his confidential devotees. He instructed the editor of The Harmonist, whatever he writes, publish it. Very, very profound. Does anybody want to share any thoughts on that before I ask you all another question? Maybe I should just ask you. Okay, go. Go in the Peru, please.
It's interesting that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is not micromanaging things. He's saying just... I trust this person, just whatever he writes, just publish it. You don't need to run it past me first. Interesting.
Yeah, powerful. I mean, very powerful, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was such a mastermind in how he, well, in every aspect, one could say, but also in organizational aspect of how he tried to set up the Gaudiya Math and expand the missionary activities of preaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. And yet, as soon as he heard this poem and this essay, he had that complete conviction that whatever he writes, publish it. So one could almost say from that point, there was a very strong indication or hallmark that our A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada had understood the mood and the essence and the heart of his spiritual master. And certainly that's what came through in the amount of pleasure that this poem and essay gave his spiritual master. So I'm just going to read a couple of texts on, and then I wanted to ask you what I call a more in-depth question. So text 72, if Rupa Goswami can understand your mind and intentions, he must have your lordship's special mercy. This is Swarup Damodar replying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 73, the Lord said, I was so much pleased with Rupa Goswami that I embraced him and bestowed upon him all necessary potencies for preaching the bhakti cult. Text 74. I accept Srila Rupa Goswami is quite fit to understand the confidential mellows of devotional service, and I recommend that you explain devotional service to him further. So here, this parallel pastime almost, or we could see, you know, as one of God, Srila Prabhupada's God brothers reflected, there seems to be a parallel that we can draw between these two pastimes, between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the verse by Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja homage to his spiritual master. So my question here is, how can we gain the mercy of the spiritual master and understand his heart? And now this is where I really hope a few of you will contribute something. And if this can be, you can contribute from this pastime which you've been hearing over the last few weekends, wonderful lectures on this Rath Yatra pastime, or from the Bhagavad Gita, or anything. I see a hand at the back here. Can we get the mic over to the lady's side? Is it working?
No, not yet.
Yeah, we can hear you.
By following his instructions with enthusiasm to the best of our ability.
Beautiful. Hope everyone heard that. Would anybody else like to expand on that? Yes, Amrita Vilasini.
For me, what helps is associating with those senior devotees, senior disciples of the spiritual master who have understood his mood very well, much more than myself, so that helps me.
Wonderful. So associating with senior God family or Vaishnavas who understand the mood of the spiritual master, associating with them. Yes.
And also hearing their memories, their experiences with the spiritual master.
Wonderful. Thank you. Anybody else? Any thoughts? Again, please don't feel shy. Don't think that what you'll say will be too obvious. There's no correct answer. I mean, I have a couple of thoughts, but this isn't something where I'm trying to catch anyone out in any way at all. I really wanted to hear from you. Any thoughts on this? Because this is the crux of spiritual life, isn't it, really? I mean, that's what we're understanding here. You know, we see Srila Prabhupada was given the thumbs up by his spiritual master. Yeah, whatever he writes, print it. Rupa Goswami here, it says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I accept Srila Rupa Goswami is quite fit to understand the confidential mellows of devotional service, and I recommend that you explain devotional service to him further. So he's giving Swarup Damodara Goswami permission to instruct Rupa Goswami in these very deep and confidential matters. So somehow this point of understanding the heart of the spiritual master is key in spiritual life, absolutely essential. So we have many senior Vaishnavas here. Please don't feel shy. Yes, Prabhu Gokrishna. Yeah.
Well, we recite or sing two songs every morning.
Yes.
Praising the spiritual master. And the final verse of the Gauravastakam in the translation, it says, therefore I should remember and praise the spiritual master at least three times a day. So obviously that meditation and then just thinking of the lotus feet of the spiritual master and meditating on what you know, what he's doing, achieving, and his connection with Krishna, like that. I think, anyway, I'm hoping that helps.
Wonderful. Yes. Dhyayam stavam tasya yasyas trisandhyam vande guru shri charanaravindam. Three times a day. Sunrise, noon, and sunset. For those of you who have second initiation or chant Gayatri mantras, one of them is to the spiritual master, and it's, I mean, I won't go into this, and I don't know enough also on it to expand, but this point of meditating on the lotus feet of the spiritual master and his instruction is very much desirable three times a day. Yes. Thank you very much. Any other thoughts? Anyone? Yes, Prabhu. Feel free to give scriptural references as well, if you'd like to. Not that you have to. Yeah.
By expanding the glories of the Lord, preaching, the bringing new people to Krishna consciousness.
Wonderful. So bringing people to Krishna consciousness and expanding the glories of the mission, sharing Krishna consciousness, whatever way we can. Wonderful. So that's a way to... Yes, there's one at the back here, if we can pass the mic to the back. That's another way to gain the mercy of the spiritual master. You're all doing really, really well on this aspect, but also I was just thinking about this understanding of his heart part, if we can focus on that a little bit as well. Both, yes.
Two verses came to mind. Srila Prabhupada would quote this one a lot. Yasya devi para bhaktir tata yata devi tata guru tasyaita kadita hirta prakashananda mahatmana. The one who has implicit faith under the spiritual master, all purport of the revealed scriptures is revealed. And I was always thinking, why? How do we get that? And I think the best definition I found is Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevai upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatradarshina. So there's three things mentioned in that verse. Pranipat, pariprashna, and sevaya. So pranipat is humility. Pariprashna means relevant questions. And sevaya is to render service as well.
So. Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm just going to read one purport which has this Yasya Deva Parabhaktir verse briefly, because it was in my thinking. So this is 2934 purport. So it starts off with the verse you've just quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi Pranipratena, Pariprashna Sevaya, Upadikshanti Te Gnanam, Gnaninas Tattva Darshina. The process of understanding transcendental knowledge is as it says, and then this verse. And it says, Arjuna was advised to receive transcendental knowledge from the realized person by surrender, questions, and service. Receiving transcendental knowledge is not like exchanging dollars. Such knowledge has to be received by service to the spiritual master. As Brahmaji received the knowledge directly from the Lord by satisfying him fully, similarly, one has to receive the transcendental knowledge from the spiritual master by satisfying him. The spiritual master's satisfaction is the means of assimilating transcendental knowledge. One cannot understand transcendental knowledge simply by becoming a grammarian. The Vedas declare, Yasya devi para bhaktir yatha devi tatha guru tasyaita kathita hyartha prakashante mahatmana. Only unto one who has unflinching devotion to the Lord and to the spiritual master does transcendental knowledge become automatically revealed. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6:23. Such relationship between the spiritual master, between the disciple and the spiritual master, is eternal. One who is now the disciple is the next spiritual master. And one cannot be a bona fide and authorized spiritual master unless one has been strictly obedient to his spiritual master. Very, very beautiful purport, wherein it explains also the qualification to become a spiritual master oneself. So just to reflect that back to you, thank you. Any more thoughts, please? The question was, we have one over here on the lady's side, if we can again. We have to keep passing. Maybe we can have two mics one time, eventually. How can we gain the mercy of the spiritual master and understand his heart?
I just thought of the story of the pastime where Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj gave the instruction to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta that don't make disciples, don't go to Calcutta, and don't associate with worldly people. But Bhakti Siddhanta apparently disobeyed all of those orders because he understood the heart of his spiritual master, that what he actually wanted, what he actually meant by those instructions.
Wonderful. And how did he get around the instructions? Can you explain a bit more?
So he took disciples, but he said that all of those disciples are not actually his disciples. He sees them as his spiritual master.
Yes.
And then he never went to Calcutta because he was in the temple in Calcutta, and the temple is a spiritual world. And when he associated with worldly people, he didn't actually associate with them. He gave his association to them.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that very, very beautiful recollection. And also reminding us of that very deep connection that Bhakti, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had with his own spiritual master, and in understanding the heart and mind of his spiritual master. Very profound. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yes, any more thoughts, anyone? I'll take a couple more before we go to the next bit. How can we gain the mercy of the spiritual master and understand his heart? I think we've covered most of the points, but what I should say is, do you have any examples of people? They can be contemporary devotees or scriptural from the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., Bhagavad Gita, of personalities that have understood the heart of their spiritual master. Yes, we have one here at the back. Can we get the microphone over this side? Ajay Govinda Prabhu, thank you. This is just me trying to also keep you awake, because I think it's nice to hear from me, to hear from you as well, but also for everybody online to hear from all the Vaishnavas.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Basically, never doubt the instruction of the spiritual master, because that instruction is coming directly from Krishna. And when spiritual master says you something that is very, very deep and that is naturally for the beneficial of the disciple, and I think one should note down in the diary, and it's a big treasure, basically. There's only one. And keep on reading that and following that. Never know when you will see him again, and what will happen in the future. Nobody knows. So, the instruction is going to be only left with you. And I remember one example, actually. There was one disciple, and I'm giving the example of my Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj, actually, he did something wrong, and he chastised him very badly, actually, in front of many, many devotees. And he was crying. The disciple was crying, and he said to him, "I don't want to see your face again." And few months he didn't come to the temple, and after some time, then my Guru Maharaj called him to somebody, can you bring him to the temple? He came back, and then he gave the keys of the temple. He said, I want to make you the temple president, and I want you to do very good actually in that service. So he gave him the keys, gave him the everything, basically charge of that temple, to run that temple. And everybody was surprised. Just few months before, that disciple was fully, totally like neglected like anything. And he was ignored by anyone. Everybody was seeing him in a very, very different way. And the mercy, we were talking about the mercy, when he got after a few months, again he was crying.
Would you mind saying your spiritual master's name?
His Holiness Gopalakrishna Goswami.
Gopalakrishna Maharaj. And which temple was this that was given charge?
It was in Chandigarh temple.
Chandigarh temple.
Sorry.
No, thank you. Thank you for being kind enough to share that. Very, very nice contemporary and sweet pastime. Thank you very much for sharing that. Actually, there's one pastime just reminded me of Srila Adi Shankaracharya was teaching Vedanta to a group of disciples. And at the Gurukul, the Gurukul was at one side of the river and the ashram was at the other bank. And Okay, I won't touch it now. He ordered one of the disciples to daily prepare food and wash clothes for him and to perform that service on time. So the disciple had to cross the river every day and had to miss the class, all the classes. But being a sincere disciple of his guru, who simply followed the guru's instruction sincerely without any fuss. But the other disciples who were attending the classes were a bit intoxicated with pride, and they belittled this sincere disciple because of his lack of transcendental knowledge. And Srila Shankaracharya understood the mentality of these disciples, and in order to teach them a lesson, he invoked rain and created a flood in the river. And eager to perform his usual service, the disciple simply surrendered to Krishna and his spiritual master, depending on their mercy, started crossing the river. At his first step, he was knee-deep, and then the next step was even deeper, but he kept on taking steps. And as soon as he took a step, a lotus flower would appear from the river, and he placed his foot on top of the lotus, and the next foot on another lotus, and thereby he crossed the river and served his spiritual master very nicely. The disciples who were witnessing this miracle were totally dumbfounded, and they surrendered to their spiritual master and asked for his forgiveness for insulting this sincere disciple. And Srila Adi Shankaracharya said that simply because he followed my instruction with transcendental faith, all mercy has been given to him, and all the essence of all Vedic knowledge is revealed to him. So it's a very ancient story, but I just thought one that came to mind. Let's have one more before we wrap up for today. Any other examples of people who have understood the heart of the spiritual master? I have one more I can share if we need. But any thoughts, anyone? From scripture or contemporary devotees? No? Okay. So I just was thinking about Srila Prabhupada again. I know we've already talked about him in the class. But I just wanted to read the last couple of stanzas of the Jaladutta prayer because they're so profound. So this is the prayer that Srila Prabhupada made when he reached Boston Harbor at the age of 69 in 1965. And, you know, he'd been sent on the order of his spiritual master to instruct this knowledge to the Western speaking world, to the Western world, the English speaking world. And finally, he got this ticket on board of the steamship. He'd suffered, I think, 2 heart attacks on the steamship and undergone so much austerity to get there. He practically had nothing with him. His translation of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, some boxes of cereal. As far as I understood, he had 40 rupees, but he gave that to his son at the dock before he left, so he didn't have any money with him, from what I understand, and he had 1 contact in Philadelphia, but that was it. So you can imagine a cold, wintry scene in Boston Harbor and Srila Prabhupada's, the actual Bengali prayers marking in Bhagavad Dharma. But I'm going to read these translations of these last 3 stanzas because they're so deep. So Srila Prabhupada's addressing this to Krishna. And the 13th verse is, "Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge. I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta. And now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, most insignificant beggar. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship, Jaladutta, Boston, 18th September, 1965. So this is somebody, I really don't think we can, I think it's very difficult for us to really understand the sacrifice that Srila Prabhupada has made for all of us and for this whole international society for Krishna consciousness. I don't know if we have any 69-year-olds in the room, but that's one factor, but also the fact that he was this aristocratic Bengali Vaishnav, you know, so exalted, who had studied so much these amazing literatures and scriptures and written commentaries and lived at the Radha Dhamma, the rooms in Vrindavan. And before that, he was a brilliant businessman running the pharmacies, many, many pharmacies, and a family man. And now here he is in this cold foreign climate, in a very different culture, at a very different time when the hippie movement was, the counterculture was at its peak. And he says, again, I don't have it with me, but Srila Prabhupada says he didn't know whether to turn right or left, you know, when he got there. So I don't know how many of you have ever moved to a different country from your original country that you were at, but I'm sure it's quite an experience. So now if we can put all those factors into Srila Prabhupada's emotions and mood at the time, and obviously also suffering the whole journey on that ship and the two heart attacks, it's quite incredible what he went through to, and the level of faith he had in the instruction of his spiritual master to make this huge sacrifice for all of us. So I think on that note, I will conclude the class. Thank you. If anybody has any comments or questions, we do have 5 minutes. If anybody has any reflections, comments, or questions, please. Yes, Prayajan Prabhu.
We were invited to apartment in Mayapur. Shruti Dharma was there, he was staying there. But also he invited my spiritual master, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, and also Radhanath Swami. And they were all there, it was all in one place, it was an incredible situation. But what I found there, that Shruti, he guided me on who to serve, what to serve, and all that. But also, they had some things, like huge cake and everything. And I noticed that Radhanath Swami, he was not very well at the time, actually, he was honouring everything, even sort of bits of pizza and cake. And really, his pleasure was their pleasure in honouring the foodstuffs there. And it really surprised me, you know, there. So I was viewing all this, but it was all under Shruti's instruction. But it was interesting to see. Even chocolate was there, you know.
And Radhanath Maharaj was humouring all the, or like, to relish this reciprocation.
It was a sacrifice, really. You know, I don't know how he felt after, that's for certain. But, yeah, I remember that in particular. It was in Dai Ram's flats there, you know, at the top floor. Yeah, okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for sharing that. Any other last thoughts on this or on anything that we've discussed today? I know we covered a lot and it was in a lot of depth also, but no? Thank you all so much, Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Guru Premanande Hari.